Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. If you would, turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 94. Psalm 94. God's blessings upon us today has brought us here, and we pray that it will do so again this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And we pray that you'll all be with us at that time. Psalm 94 says, O Jehovah, thou God, to whom vengeance belongs, thou God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render to the proud their desert. How long, Jehovah, shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? They pour out words, they speak arrogantly. All the works of iniquity boast themselves. They break in pieces thy people, O Jehovah, and afflict thy heritage. They slay the widow and the sojourner, and murder the fatherless. They say, Jehovah will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. Consider ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that plants the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasten the nation, shall he not correct? He that teaches man knowledge. Jehovah knows the thoughts of man, they that are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastens, O Jehovah, and teachest out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, unto the pit be digged for the wicked. For Jehovah will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Jehovah has been my help, my soul has soon dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, the loving kindness of Jehovah held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts that are within me, thy consolations delight my soul. Shall the throne of wickedness shall have fellowship with thee, which frames mischief of statute? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But Jehovah has been my high tower, and my God, the rock of my refuge, and he has brought me upon them their own iniquity, and will cut them off in their own wickedness. Jehovah our God will cut them off. Many of us, when it comes down to the cares, concerns of the heaviness of the past week, especially of what happened this past Monday, and the shooting at a private school in Nashville, that's riveted our hearts extremely. This passage here, Psalm chapter 94, may be a passage that may be of some great value to you. I don't know. But hopefully as we go through this, it might. But one of the first things you will recognize right off in verse 1 through verse 3 is, why is this wickedness continue? And or, as the question is stated, how long is it going to happen? How long will the wicked triumph? O Jehovah, thou God, whom vengeance belongs, thou God to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Therefore, that's maybe our thinking. We would love for the vengeance to shine forth. We'd like for it to enlighten the people that are wicked, to let them see how wicked wickedness is. We'd like for them to see the illumination of the glory and the power of God. Wish they would. Wish they would see it very clearly. Our hearts have been filled definitely with a lot of emotions this past week regarding that event. The things that we're going to talk about this morning have nothing necessarily in particular related to that moment that happened a week ago tomorrow. It could be associated with a lot of different things of which this psalmist talks about that devastate us, that really just work in our hearts deeply. There has been a lot of anxious moments. There have been a lot of fearful moments. There have been a lot of questions of which there are no answers, and they will continually be asked. Whenever you have good and evil in the same circle or in the same world, you're going to have a conflict. That was something that Jesus told his apostles before he left them in the book of John 15, 16, and 17. They will treat you no differently than they would have treated me. The good that you represent to the world needs the cares and the consolation from God, because the wickedness will bring you to the point of thinking that the suffering and the affliction really needs your most appointed attention. You have heard, and I have heard, so many different narratives, as they say, related to what happened. And I would say it will come up again. It's come up before. About why this happened. Who it was that were the victims. Why will it happen again? What do we do about it? All those particular things. But it calls upon me, and I hope it will call upon you, to be the one who will see, am I the one in the midst of all that's happened to bring about a very clear definition of the glory of God? Will there be a way of which God's glory will be manifested within me as a result of what's happened? A lot of it has to do with whether or not I really paid attention to the cares and the consolation of God. The moment of care and comfort in this passage is Psalm 94, verse 16, where it says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless Jehovah has been my help, my soul has soon dwelt in silence." And there are a lot of people who are just like Job's friends in the midst of all that's happened. All they can do is sit there quietly, not say a word, because they have no words to say. "Unless Jehovah had been my help, my soul had soon dwelt in silence. When I said my foot slips, thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Thy cares and consolations. I asked Robert a while ago before service started, I said, "Do you have any songs that's going to relate to the message this morning?" He didn't know this, but the one before about "No one cares for me like Jesus" is absolutely parallel to what we're talking about this morning. Verse 5 in this chapter illustrates pretty well what this has done to a lot of people. It breaks in pieces thy people and afflicts the heritage. Slays the widow and the sojourner, murders the fatherless. And they say, Jehovah will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. And I think that's a pretty significant statement to ask those questions. And there's one thing about this that I think all of us would realize. It's not that if these things will happen, it's when these things will happen. In other words, when all the multitudes of all the concerns and the trials and the afflictions and the sufferings of life happen, it's not if it will happen, it's when it's going to happen. And when it does, then what will we do? What's our step? What's our next moment? Where do we turn? What's our direction? What is it that we're going to do next? I think there's something to be said for what Jesus said in John 16:33, that the tribulation will come. Tribulations will come, but he says, I will have victory over the world. The difficulties of which we face. Tears flow, hearts ache, afflictions, sufferings come, disappointments come. Definitely tribulation abounds. And all the burdens of this day that happened a week ago tomorrow. Some people have lost their faith. Some people don't know how to express a faith. Some people come to it. Some people lose heart. Some people lose strength. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 talks about how God is the one that brings us through the moment of suffering with comfort. Sometimes you think Christians aren't exposed to this. It's kind of like we float over the top of all this. Yet Romans chapter 8 says we're right in the middle of it, verse 19 to verse 22, like everybody else. But I think it's really important for us to understand very clearly that we're the ones, as verse 19 says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Your consolations delight my soul. And these consolations that God offers come from two sizes, one large and one very small. One's pretty evident, and the other one might not be so. Yet both of them bring significant amount of comfort and a lot of blessings. Yet in the midst of all that we face, I think there's something to be said for these moments of consolation can only be seen by faith through the moment of the pain. Through the moment of the pain. I hope you caught what I said. If the moment of the pain and the moment of the affliction and the moment of the sorrow is as far as we go, then we really see the present. We don't really see by faith. What are those large moments? What are those large consolations? Well, the first one has a lot to do with God's power. God's power is great, which according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, verse 17, sustains the world, who created all things. Everything is sustained by His power. The birds are really chirping this time of year. And they're finding a place to build a nest, to bear more birds. And they're going to find a location somewhere close to where some of you live. And those birds will be born as a result of God's creation and power of which He put together. Those of you that are here this morning, hair on your head, every one of them counted according to Luke chapter 12, verse 7. The power that it takes to count all the numbers of the hair of the heads just lets you know how powerful God's is and all that He does. He's the one by the power of His word. And this psalmist says in Psalm chapter 94 verse 9 in the form of a question, he that plants the ear, shall he not hear? The one that made the ear, he'll hear too. One that formed the eye, shall he not see? God's creation, the power in it. The one that made the eye, the one that made the ear has all these things. One of the most significant things that you may have recognized is the power of the government. The authority God gave the government. Laws of which are enforced by certain individuals against that which is wicked and evil. The power of God in this, by giving this moment a system of enforcement to show God's authority. If it wasn't done speedily, according to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, this thing would have kept going on and on and on. And more people would have died. But it was executed speedily. According to what's found in the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 1, by the authority of God, the power of God, these individuals were ministers of God and avenger of wrath to him that does evil. They stopped the shooting, as well as the administrators and as well as the staff of that school did that. Authority protects. Authority acts right. Authority acts according to what is good. And authority is what restrains the sin. Authority doesn't entice people to do more of it. Authority keeps people from involving themselves in more immorality. The power of God to resist was evident. And definitely God's love is that consolation. We see it so well in the book of Psalm chapter 94, which the psalmist says, my foot slips, but thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, held me up. For some people, that is the foundation of what they've got to hold on to in the midst of the grief and the tears and the suffering and the affliction and the pain and the turmoil and the tragedy. Such love, so powerful, so great, so loyal, so faithful, that according to Romans chapter 8, verse 32, did not mind giving up and lovingly and abundantly giving up his only son. How shall he not give unto us all things if he gave up his only son? But it goes further than that. In the same chapter, you will notice that this powerful love of God that not only spared not his own son, but if you notice in verse 35, there is a list that begins of certain things that people may seem to think would separate God's love from us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, anguish, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Which one? Verse 38. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, heights, depth. What about man? None of these things has prevented, built a wall up, stopped, in any way hindered God's love toward us. It's still there. The power of that love still exists. God's power, witnessed in his wisdom. The consolation, the comfort in God's wisdom in all this. In some cases is yet to be seen and yet to be understood. A man in the book of Job, the whole chapter, it's about him. But no, the whole chapter is about God in him. In the midst of a situation where Job is one who says, this is not fair. I should have never had all of my children taken away from me. I should have never had my possessions taken away from me. I have, according to Job 1 verse 1, have feared the Lord. I have lived upright. I should not have to go through this. And he did. No one is exempt from pain. No one is exempt from suffering. And by the time the whole book was concluded, he realized the wisdom of God in his will, the word of God was the wisdom to him that presented to him the promises that God will provide. You think about Jesus Christ, an individual who did not deserve at all to go through what he did. Evan just presented it so clearly to us this morning. Joseph didn't deserve what happened to him either. In the midst of the prayer, here's Jesus asking for God to take the cup, remove the cup, get rid of the cup, take away the pain. Do not let it happen. Stop it before it comes. I don't want to go through this. And even on the cross, said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Luke chapter 22, 42. This man, Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, experienced the consolation of the wisdom of God that his will would take place through him. Through him. I would pray that for myself and for all of us, we would want the same thing. Going through pain is not a happy moment. Going through news of which you wish you'd never heard about a disease that you now have, that you always hear other people have. Go through a trial that you hear other people have to go through and you now have to experience it. Maybe Psalm chapter 94 would be great to think about. When it states in that verse, as we mentioned a while ago, in verse 19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. I say these things not to in any way remove your tears. I do not in any way say these things to say you're lessening the pain. You're trying to help us escape the trouble. That's not my point. It goes back to what I said earlier about how is it that you and I are going to be demonstrating the glory of the God in the midst of this? It is through the cares and the promises of the consolations of which God provides for us. Even when you think about God's presence. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort console me. Standing beside or at the foot of a bed of someone who's about to take their last breath is a very sobering moment, very humbling moment. For the child of God, there is comfort and consolation in that moment. That the presence of God is there with him. Being alone is a frightening experience, for sure. Whether you're at night, whether you're in a storm, or whether you've just experienced a loss. But according to the book of Acts 17, verse 27, God has not operated at a distance and say, well, okay, I'll let them take care of this. I don't know what to tell them either. We may stand in shock. We may not have anybody to step in to help. But as Jesus' disciples, and Jesus was telling his disciples in the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, verse 20, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. The Hebrew writer said in the Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, verse 6, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. I will always be there. The sun up, the sun down. When you can't see the stars, and when you can. When the clouds come, and they threaten you with floods, build your life on the foundation. But then there's these small moments. Small moments that come from God in his son Jesus. When there was a death, when there was a disease, when there was grief, when there was weeping, when there was somebody that was blind, when there was somebody that couldn't hear, when there was somebody who needed some food, when there was somebody that was lonely, God's small consolations came through Jesus. God's consolations even come in sending his Holy Spirit in Scripture. One verse pops out as to be that most wonderful means of consolation, that it comes from the mouth of God, that people hold on to, type it out, put it on the refrigerator, put it on their phone, it pops up every morning. That consolation, small moment, but it comes from God. Uttering a prayer, as quick as it may be, or as long as it may be, that prayer is that small moment of consolation. That you get to speak to God, and others don't get to speak on your behalf, but you get to speak directly. That moment of consolation, and when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit has the ability to deal with your infirmities. That moment of comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit. When the hardships are faced, grace is given. When sadness overwhelms, joy abounds in hard places. When fear enters, trust illuminates the promises. Troubles abound, truth abounds more. And then let's not forget this. Those cards that people send to us, those flowers, or those small consolations, that written message. Somebody reaches and holds your hand. Somebody gives you a hug. Somebody calls you on the phone. Those small consolations that you survived that long trip through the snowstorm or the rainstorm. Those small moments of comfort and consolation which God gives. So, so wonderful. Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 10, discussed a moment of a thorn. A thorn that he approaches God about, asking him to deliver, escape, relieve this, take it away, remove it. The sooner it is, the better off I will be. Really? Really? And then he tells him, my grace is sufficient unto thee. That real small, quick moment of consolation. Then when you go out and watch the spring come up as it is right now, birds flying, but flowers blooming. And then you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, behold the lilies of the field. You see them in their glory. Glory that is greater than what God gave to Solomon. And then the question is raised, are not ye of much more value than they? What a sobering question that is. God doesn't do this for my pleasure. He doesn't give it to me because I favor the spring over the fall or the winter. He doesn't do it for me, for my approval. He does it because of who He is. Therefore, we are the people who should look very clearly and see in the book of Psalm chapter 94 the shape, the vision, the care, the mercy of God as He replenishes us when we're exhausted and tired and doubtful, pressured, fearful, and anxious. This is a very pivotal moment for needing God's vengeance, but really gaining an understanding that you are the one, verse 19, that comforts me, and I delight in that. As frightening and despaired as I may be, for all the evil that exists, I praise and I honor and I give glory to God and live by faith, even though evil will continue. When evil came to the world, in day one, we would say, of Genesis 3, not only by the sin of taking the fruit that they were not to take, but go the next chapter, and the first death in society happened in the same family that sinned in chapter 3. And you think, why would God not do something about that? Mark will bring this up if you're with us in class next Sunday morning. But he did in Genesis 3, verse 15. He did not let people sit back and just deal with their anxiety, be overwhelmed in their sadness, cry all day and all night, be in such despair and without hope, that they know not what to do. But when the question is asked, what do I do? God came up with the answer, had already had in His mind that it would be in Jesus, the answer. For the remedy of the conflict that existed in Christ Jesus is the comfort and the care from our Father. If you're contemplating the idea of becoming a Christian, look no further. Do not take another step in sin, but take one step in the direction toward the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus the Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then praise God for the care and the consolation. And the anxious thoughts about what you're going to do tomorrow, you can live in peace with Him. Consider that very strongly while together we sing this song.